Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we know that I've already begun the conversation this morning with the kids. We know that we have had many, many heroes in the history of our country, in the North American history. Some of those heroes have been, you know, of legend and of lore, you know, like John Henry or Paul Bunyan. But then we have other historical figures, historical heroes that are very real, very real. George Washington and Ben Franklin, Jackie Robinson. There's so many historic heroes that have been here in our country. And since it is the 4th of July weekend, I thought I'd like to tell you a story of another American hero. Perhaps you have heard this story, perhaps not. The story goes that, this is a true story, by the way. In 1918, near the end of World War I, there was an Allied battalion that was stuck behind enemy lines with very, very little food, very little supplies, and they accidentally, at one point, started coming under friendly fire. So not only are they surrounded by the Germans behind enemy territories, but they're accidentally being onslaughted by friendly fire. So the hope was nearly lost. I mean, there were 500 in this battalion. Many of them are already perishing. They had to get a messenger out for help. And so the messenger that went out for help was a very brave young soldier who was shot during the attempted escape, but managed to keep going. Managed to keep going, dodging bullets and mines and hiding from the enemies, darting around with fierce determination to get that desperate message for help back to the rest of the Allies. Well, that young soldier made it. He made it. He made it through everything, wounded but alive, and delivered the message. The friendly fire onslaught stopped. But then, though, he had to make his way back to the battalion. And he goes back through all of the battlefields, more German attack, more shots being fired at him from all around. On the way back, he was shot again in the chest and in the leg. He was blinded in one eye in the onslaught, but he still courageously made it back to the battalion and became the hero of the 77th Infantry Division. Have you heard the story? The name of this American hero who delivered the message was Cher Ami. He was a homing pigeon. He was a messenger pigeon. And this pigeon was immediately brought back. He survived through all of this. He was brought back to the U.S., and he succumbed to the battle wounds that he received. And even to this day, he is held at the Smithsonian Museum and held in honor as an American hero. Cher Ami was sent on a very specific mission with a very specific purpose, and that was to save lives. The last few weeks, we have been learning from the Gospel of Luke on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, right? In chapter 9, we learned about the cost of discipleship, that we must die to self in order to live for Christ. And now what we see in chapter 10 is Jesus giving concrete examples of how to be a disciple. And in this reading that we had this morning, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 20, what it means to be a disciple, that it means to be sent as a messenger, to be sent as a messenger. I'm going to go back just a little bit, though. We're going to look at a couple of things from chapter 9. In the very first chapter, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus sends out his 12 disciples. He sends out the 12, you know, he sent them out by his authority to do some very specific things, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to proclaim the kingdom of God. And he sent those who were closest to him because they had been with him every day, listening to him, learning from him, watching Jesus perform miracles, watching Jesus heal people, cast out demons, seeing the proclamation in the building up of the kingdom of God by offering forgiveness of sins. They were with Jesus every day. They saw him do it. Now, Jesus tells them, it's your turn. Go out and do these same things that you have been watching me do. Now it's your turn to go out and do these things. The closest to Jesus were called to go out and fulfill God's word. Now, we have a little bit of a change, don't we? We see in the middle of Luke chapter 9, Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem. He is determined to fulfill his goal, his mission in life. He is going to the cross. So now what he's doing is he is sending everyone to go out and accomplish his will. So chapter 10, what we read this morning, begins with Jesus appointing 72 others to go out, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to proclaim the kingdom of God, to provide healing and forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. 72 others. Did you ever wonder why it was 72? Why not another 12? Why not 40? Why not 100? Why the 72? Well, that 72 is a hearkening, a connection back to the Old Testament, back to Genesis chapter 10. In Genesis chapter 10, we have what is known of as the Table of Nations chapter of Scripture. It's the account of God's work being done to rebuild and repopulate the world after the flood. Okay? The descendants of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and then all of their offspring for generations were spread, they were dispersed throughout the world, throughout the Middle East, Asia, Europe, and Africa, becoming 72 distinct nations. So that 72 that Jesus is sending out, it is a clear representation from the 72 known nations of the world. To go out, to proclaim the good news, to build God's kingdom on earth, to heal people in body, mind, spirit, and soul. These 72 have been sent. And it's important that we pay attention that it's not just the 12 disciples that are the closest to Jesus that have been sent. Now we have representatives from the entirety of the world going out to do the same things, to be the same messengers that those closest to Jesus were. They were sent as messengers on a mission with a very specific purpose, to save lives. And then we read that those 72, they came back, and they came back with joy because what they did worked. They were successful in the preaching of the gospel. They healed sick people. They spread the good news to everyone they went to. Now, it didn't mean everyone listened to them, but many people did. And they come back with joy, it says. But we notice that Jesus doesn't pat them on the back, does he? He doesn't pat them on the back because he tells them instead that the glory of God shines not because of these things that you have done. The glory of God doesn't shine because of these things you have accomplished, your accomplishments in life, no matter if they're sent by me or not. The glory of God shines because you have faith in Jesus. They had faith in Jesus to go and to do the things that he called them to do. That is where the glory of God shines. They successfully cast out demons. Do you know that you, every one of you in this room, has authority and dominion over the evil and over the demons of this world? Did you know that? You have been given that authority by Jesus Christ, and then now in the power of the Holy Spirit to cast out demons, to heal, to provide good news and salvation through Jesus Christ. The same authority that Jesus gave to the 12 disciples in Luke chapter 9, the same authority that Jesus gave to the 72 in Luke chapter 10, is the same authority that you have now to have dominion over the evil in this world. We see examples in promises and hope of how all Christians are to be disciples of Jesus. By faith in Jesus, by being sent, by proclaiming the kingdom of God, by bringing others to faith, by expressing our own faith, sharing our own faith, especially in our own homes and amongst our families. Being a disciple of Jesus means knowing what the gospel is, knowing what the good news of Jesus Christ truly is, that he came into the world to save us from sin, from death, from destruction, that he lived a perfect life, that he died a sinner's death, and that he victoriously rose from the grave, and he did it all for you. To know this is to be a disciple of Jesus. To share this, to be the messenger of this hope, is to be a disciple of Jesus. You know, there was a few years ago that the very popular slogan for many different college and professional sports teams was to be all in. To be all in. For players, for coaches, for fans, to be so fully engaged that the team is willed to victory every time they go out to play. The players have to be bought in mind and body, sacrificing their own physical self for the better of the team. The coaches are bought in because they are spending 100 hours a week studying film and making plays, and the fans bought in completely, all in, buying all the merchandise and going to all the games. It takes all of these things, right? That there is nothing more important than the team. It takes all of us to be part of the team to win. All in. I think what we've been seeing the last couple of weeks, Luke chapter 9, and especially here in Luke chapter 10, is a calling for every Christian to be all in. To be bought in. Even more so than we are with our sports fandom, completely devoted and completely dedicated to the calling that we all have to go out into the world to cast out demons, to have authority over evil, to heal the sick, to proclaim the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see and we know and we've experienced that it doesn't always work the way that we want it to work or the way that we plan for it to work, does it? Sometimes there are people who will not listen. Sometimes there are people with such hardened hearts that they refuse to actually hear. There are people who will be angry against the good news, who don't want to hear the good news. There will be people who outright deny salvation through Jesus Christ. We know that. But that doesn't lessen the calling that we have, that all of us have, to go, to be messengers of this good news. Each one of us has been called to be that messenger. And again, with a very specific purpose. to save lives. We're talking about eternal salvation, saving lives, saving souls. When we live out the gospel in our lives and in our actions, we are participating actively in the building up of God's kingdom. And we are being sent, every one of us, every day in some capacity, to be missionaries of peace and forgiveness to the world. The world around us is full of things that are awful, that are sad, that are tragic, that are divisive, that are dark. But we, friends, have been filled with the light of God through Jesus Christ to be salt and light for the world, a world that desperately needs it. The missions to which each of us have been called and are being called are varied. They're all over the place, but they're all important. Each one of us is represented then in the 72 that go out and come back by faith, with endurance, with joy and peace and hope. We are called to be disciples despite what the world throws in front of us and despite the dangers that are always present. To take up my cross daily and follow Jesus means to listen to him, to read his word, to worship him, to do what he said to do, and to endure through the extreme difficulties of the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we have been given the authority. The calling of the 72, the calling that each one of us has, is not something to be delayed or put off until I'm ready or until I get things in order. There is a cost to discipleship. We've been talking about this for a few weeks. There's a cost to discipleship, and there is an urgency to the gospel. Jesus has called you. He has called you. And like so many of those other unnamed messenger pigeons from World War I, Jesus sends people today, and some of the people that he sends today, we may feel inadequate, we may feel unimportant, or not prepared. He doesn't always send people into foreign countries or into professional work in the church, but he does always send all believers. He sends all believers according to their various vocations to proclaim his praises, to bring comfort, to bring healing, to bring forgiveness to people all around you, everywhere you go, in every corner of life. Friends, it is good news indeed that you have been called to be on mission with a very specific message to save lives. Amen.